I'm going into a series, which will get interrupted next week, like I said, by Chet. But I'm going into a series that's kind of different. For some of you, you might not like it. Just warn you up front. It's one in which can be sometimes controversial, oftentimes can be misused, which is why it's controversial. So one of the major things that, I have been preaching about the Lord for a long time here in His love, His mercy, His grace, how wonderful He is, and all that is absolutely true and primary to our lives. And knowing, I mean, we're here because we have a loving God who really and truly does care for us. And He looks at every part of our life, from our toenails to our whatever, to the top of our head. I want to talk about a different nature of God that some churches put this up front primary. I don't, but I don't want us to forget about it either. We have a God who is ultimately the authority over all things in the world. The Bible says nothing happens that He doesn't allow to have happen in government or anything else. It doesn't mean everything goes good and smooth, so I'm not at all putting down what Cody said, but He is the Lord over all things. And I think that there's a time in which we forget. We think of God as our buddy. We think of God as this just really sweet guy with angelic cherubs all around. And the Bible, especially the Old Testament, talks a lot about the fear of the Lord as being the beginning of wisdom. And I think we don't want to forget about the fact that the Lord is mighty. He's powerful. Even the word terrible is used to describe Him. That there's just a lot of power behind the God that we follow. Thank heaven, but still, it's there. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 5 speaks to us, and he's speaking for God in this. He said, "Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts, and they have turned aside and gone away. They do not say to themselves, 'Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in seasons, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest.' Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch men. Like cages full of birds, these houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful, and they have grown fat and sleek." Now, I have to stop here and say, as I'm reading this, I can't figure out how you can be both fat and sleek. Seems like you have to be one of those two, but anyway. I think this is pretty intense. Sometimes we skip over, I used to do that, skip over all the bad stuff in the Old Testament so I could find the good things. Continue on. "Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not plead the case of the fatherless to win it. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I avenge myself on a nation as this? A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophecy lies. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But What will you do in the end? We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we're getting that government in all that's happening right now. And I believe God is saying, wake up. The word I wanted to jump on you, but I'm too nice a guy, was the word, but. I know there's God, but. Well, there's no but in God. There is God. And there is the power that he has behind him. And he knows what's going on in the world. I mean, there's so many different fronts, from the racial tensions that's going on, to ISIS coming to our doorstep, to just so many others, so numerous to mention, that the world is coming to a point, just as each of us individually come to a point, where we have to recognize that we need him and that our country needs him. I'm trying to shorten my sermon, so I would have normally showed you this 8-minute video, but I'm trying to cut it down. So I'm just going to give you the lyrics to a song I have played a couple times here. So a lot of you have seen this. Some of you may not have, but it's a song by a really anointed young woman by the name of Misty Edwards. And the title, I think she wrote this, if not, but I think she did. The title of it is People Get Ready. And I'm going to read some of the lines from her song. It says, people walking around with the fingers in their ears saying, la da 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 da, I don't want to hear the sound of the coming king. And then she goes on later on to say, though he was silent like a lamb to the slaughter, and I wish I could sing like she could, does, he was silent. In his patience, he endured. He says, well, I have held my patience for a long, 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 long time. And in my silence, you thought I was altogether like you. And in your heart, you were settled in complacency. You said, he won't even respond. You said, he's not interested. You said, he's dead and gone. And my favorite line in this whole song is that he's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. Amen. God is aware of everything that is going on in our world. I don't know about you, I'm experiencing a heightened level of, what's the word? I mean, I'll throw away the first word that comes to my mind. I can go to crap is another word, but just things are really hard right now. We're experiencing it in our family, things that are happening. And I think we need to know that the kingdom of God is coming in. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in Matthew 11:12 says that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And forceful men and women grab hold of it. And we want to be those forceful men and women who grab hold of it. And so I believe that it's not so much we should be fearful of the things we're seeing happening. I think the fear is coming from the evil one reacting to the knowing that things are getting tough on him. And fear is what drives all that. And so I think what God wants to know is that he wants us to know is that he's, is to quote an old professor of ours in seminary, he's large and in charge. He's got his hand on the things, including each and every one of our lives, all the way down to our toenails. He's got everything covered. He's there. But then he's got a step further beyond that, which is he has this ultimate authority. The buzzwords that go with that is Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of our life. He is the Lord of our country. He is the Lord of our world. We sometimes think that's not the case, and certain countries think that's not, but it is the case. He is. He allows what he allows. He does what he does. And then on beyond that, that he has the ultimate authority, he has delegated to us his authority. He's given us the authority to be able to move forward in power, to do what he, as he said, even greater things than him. And so he's given us an authority in our life to be able to act and react. Now, once you get authority, that's a really dangerous thing. What's that saying? Authority corrupts, absolute authority corrupts absolutely. We have to be careful. The kingdom of God is a mystery. And once we start feeling this power happening, this power struggle, it can go to our heads. That's not new. Jesus ran into that. His followers ran into that. Luke chapter 10, the 72 are his some of his closest disciples, returned with joy, this is after Jesus had sent them out into the world, and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. This is not about anything in herpetology or biology. This is metaphors for the things that we can jump on in this world. And to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. God has given us the power to take care of ourselves, to take care of our families, to take care of our city and our country. And he really is calling us to do that. It's the same power that has been around for thousands of years, and especially in the last 2,000 years with the Holy Spirit released. It's that power that we talk about that's the already and the not yet. We don't have the full-blown, everything is wonderful kind of thing, but we already have stuff breaking in from the past and coming in. He's given us the power to be able to, well, most of all, to love. The power to love people who are unlovable. To love heaven, our enemies. And to bend over backwards to love our enemies. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to heal, to deliver, and to set free. And he wants us to be able to exercise that power and receive it ourselves as we need it. But more power is not always the answer. What we need is power with boundaries. Let me give you an example. Back in the early 70s, I was part of a prayer meeting here in Monroe. I've told you a few times. And a friend of mine was one of the co-leaders there. His name was Dave LaPrade. There's a lot of LaPrades around here. And Dave called me one day and said, my brother-in-law died. So what happened? He said, my brother-in-law was a lineman for Detroit Edison. And he made one mistake. And I went, I don't want to get too gross to you, but I went to the funeral and they had put makeup all over him so that he just looked gray rather than black with a high voltage. The only reason I bring that up is power misused. I mean, we use the electricity, we have the sound systems, we enjoy this, the AC is coming in, power and electricity is great. But if you don't give it the boundaries, it can kill you. The power that God wants for us to have, to use in our lives, in the lives of our family and friends, our town and our country, can be misused. And so God has called us And he's made us, given us a call to use that in a wise way. A guy I actually have met by the name of Gary Best wrote a book called Naturally Supernatural. And a quote from that book says, rather than simply muting their enthusiasm over the power they had experienced, Jesus was trying to tell the disciples, to help the disciples understand that exciting as the victory was, one battle does not make, not a war make. Jesus wasn't just committed to a short-term win. He was dedicated to them ultimately winning the war against Satan. If they were to accomplish this, they would need to understand the difference between authority and power. He had not sent them out into the battle of power against power. He had sent them out with ambassadorial authority. He has given us authority way beyond what we can imagine. And I would say most of us have been talked out of having any of that. Most of us don't really believe we have the authority that God says we have. But what he's saying here is we have this ambassadorial authority. What is that? Let me read out of 2 Corinthians 5. Paul tells us a little bit about that. He says, this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his final appeal through us. We are like this guy here. We're ambassadors. What are ambassadors? I'll tell you what they're not. They're not guys in really cool tuxedos with medals hanging down who are really slick with people and can talk them into anything. That's not what an ambassador is. He's not just a good guy, good with people. An ambassador is one who represents the power behind him. The ambassador is one who has not just his words, but the whole authority behind him that he's given to be sent out. When our ambassador from the United States goes to a country, what he speaks only what he knows the president wants or the country wants, and he doesn't go outside of that. But behind what he says is the same power as if the president was speaking, the same power as if the people were speaking. And he has all of the military behind him, all of the political realm, all of the financial behind him when he goes into those countries and speaks as an ambassador. We as ambassadors for Christ have more than that. We have all of that that's behind us from Christ. From God, God's power, God's authority, God's provision, all of that is behind us as we walk through all of this. And he's calling us to recognize the authority he has and then what he has transferred to us, what he has given to us to do. Remember, it's authority and power that's used within boundaries that God sets, but it's still so very important. One of my favorite stories, the kind of, I think represents it, is what Jesus thought of authority, Matthew 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astounded. Astonished, and said, to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." He saw the faith of this man. This man is Roman. He's the enemy to the Jews. And yet he saw a faith in him when the man understood the lines of authority. I'm under authority, and I have those under. A centurion had 100 men. That's how he got his name, under him. And God saw it, and he knew that this guy had faith. He understood how God works. He understood how faith worked. For 30 years, I have my own engineering business. I was a consultant. I would go into companies. I did a lot of engineering, but I did as much management consulting. I would go in, and oftentimes I'd even be put in a position in the middle of the company. And one time I was plant manager for a short time, for a year or two. And I had all the authority that the owner had given me. At other times, the owner sent me in, and I had authority. I had a president of the company fired. It wasn't something I took lightly. I had a plant relocated in which people lost their jobs, but they were going to lose it anyway because the plant was doing so poorly. I had a lot of authority, but I knew right where my limits were. I didn't use that authority in anywhere except for the job I was given to do. And then I was given total authority. It was the boundary and authority that God wanted me to use for that job. And it allowed me to go in and do that. Authority is always about relationship. It's always about how people are relating, how people are handling things. When Jesus was given all authority from the Father, he didn't take that lightly. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted the Son of Man, then you will know that I lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me.'" He knew right where his boundaries were. "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There was a real unity between the Father and the Son. In authority, there can be authority and unity. You actually, if you have someone in authority over you, the more you can be one with them, the better off it is. There can even be equality between someone in authority over someone else. An example would be Ephesians 5, where Paul's talking about husbands and wives, and he says, "Submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ." Let me repeat that for those of you who think men are tougher than women. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." I mean, I could do a whole sermon just on that one scripture, but there's a way in which, yeah, the husband is the head over the wife, but there's an equality there that he also needs to lay his life down and even die for her if he needs to, just like a mother is in authority over her children but would die for them in a minute. there's an equality that goes between the husband and wife that is just there. There was and is an equality between Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. There's an authority structure there, but there's total equality too. It kind of blows your mind. What I'm saying is, we can be in authority over people we're equal with. But what I'm saying is that authority is from God, used to love and serve them. I want to close with a scripture from Ephesians 1 that says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he was called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power. For us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, not even just now, but in the age to come, that age that's breaking in on us and wanting to give us more of the kingdom of God right now. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Christ wants to give us that delegated authority, that authority to be able to go out and be his body out there. Let me do a quick review with bullet points. It says, all authority comes from God, and we should approach both his power and authority with fear and reverence. Because we can do something doesn't mean we're cool. It means he's the one doing the stuff. When we experience the power of God, it can go to our heads, but God trusts us to use it prudently and carefully. We have ambassadorial authority, which means all power in heaven and earth are behind us. Which is why I had no fear when you're telling me this horrible story. Doesn't mean they may not kill me, but I have no fear for them. Jesus has all authority and stands with us. He only did what he saw the Father doing, or what the Father was saying. Or do what the Father was saying. And then finally, equality and authority live well together. Us having authority didn't mean that I was better. When I was doing the consulting, I wasn't better than the people. A lot of them were much better than I at their jobs. But it's just an authority. It's something God gives us to accomplish something. And that something that he accomplishes is helping the kingdom of God, cooperating with the kingdom of God moving forward. So as that thing you're talking about is coming one way, and then I'll stand and give a testimony of, did you know what happened from the ISIS and how there's so many sleeper cells in the U.S. and how in the world are we going to survive that? Or how in the world are we ever going to find racial equality going on in this world today? And the answer is that Jesus is Lord. And that we need to hang on to that and follow that through all of this mess. Because he wants to teach us and show us his power through all that's going on. It's impossible to come against that. Even you organize well, you'll never get a majority of the people to follow that. It's impossible. And impossible is right where God lives. It's where he works. It's where he is all of the time. I heard somebody saying, if you have a problem in your life and nothing's happening to it, it may be because God's waiting until it's impossible to fix it for him to come in to fix it. Because he likes to fix impossible things. And that's what he's calling us to do. So, I'm just calling you on. I'm going to be talking more about this after next week. And hopefully next week what we're going to hear is how God is empowering his people in the Midwest. And those silly little tanks and things will be nothing compared to what God's given us.